You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
I had the bug at like 11 where I would go to my mom and I'd be like, so I'm ready to move to New York. My mom's like, you're 11. Like, and I was like, yeah, I know. But like, I think, you know, I was doing my research. I'm like, Annie's on Broadway. And like, I think I'm ready for it. Like, truly. So I always had the bug. I always knew that I wanted to be there.
Hey, what's going on? It's me, Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, an online training platform that helps actors to train like athletes. Actors are athletes, so start training like one. Go to the website, builtforthestage.com, and you can try a free trial. No catch, no gimmicks, just 7 days to see what it's like to work with us here at Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you like the podcast, please rate and subscribe it. We are a part of the Broadway Podcast Network, so you can check them out at bpn.fm on your web browser. All right. As always, we have a special guest on the show today. So please welcome Susie Carroll. Hey, Susie, what's up?
Hi, Joe. What's up? I'm happy to be here.
You know, the wonderful world of Instagram luckily connected us. You had posted something really near and dear to my heart that I wanted to contribute towards, and that just kind of got the ball rolling, and here we are.
Yeah. Thank you. I really do appreciate that a lot. That meant the world to me that you felt the same way about it that I did.
Yeah. You want to chat about it to just kick us off? It won't be the main topic of our conversation, but just, yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, with the movement, my birthday came up and I just got to thinking about, you know, reflecting on the past year of my life and what really helped get me through my past year of my life. I had a very eventful year. 23 to 24 was very eventful in some of the best ways and some of the, you know, hard growing pain kind of ways. And I have been fortunate enough to have a therapist that just meant the absolute world to me. And she has helped me through so much. And I was, you know, just, you know, every year for me, at least, I don't know if it's common for you as well, but like, I get so nostalgic around my birthday. And I just get, I just think about so much of what it brought and where I want to go and all of that kind of stuff. So I just was thinking, and I was thinking about, I kept coming back to, oh my goodness, thank goodness I had, her during that time. Oh my goodness. Thank goodness I had her during that time. And for the highs and some of the best days and some of the worst days, I was like, thank goodness she was there through all of it. So anyways, to go back to it, I was researching kind of what I wanted to do for my birthday, and I found the Loveland Foundation, which is a foundation that, where you go to donate for people who, specifically Black women and girls to get therapy if they need. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I went. And what I wanted to do and kind of celebrate my birthday doing is by sharing the, making therapy accessible for others who might not be able to, it's not as readily available for them. And which was super important to me because mental health is something that I take very, very seriously. And it's something that I think that we all should be able to have access to.
Yeah, for me, therapy has always been a huge help. And it's something that I lived more than half of my life refraining from and running away from.
Of course.
So when, you know, I saw this cause that you had posted, you know, it definitely connected with me just because I had fought it for so long. And for those people that would want it, you know, I would want for them to be able to have it, because now that I participate and go to therapy myself and counseling, it's been a game changer just to talk it out, you know.
Yeah.
Holding it in is the worst that we can do, and having an outside perspective and support system is always important.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we were chatting before we hit record here about how you made your Broadway debut in The Prom, and then you were going to be moving on to Mean Girls, and you had a unique experience that some people get to have in the industry where you're overlapping two shows with rehearsing one while still performing the other. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was with Prom, and you know, there was an opening of their vacation. So I was Vacation Swing at Prom, and then their Vacation Swing over at Mean Girls, she was going to be the DC of the tour. So she was leaving. And so I remember I was at an audition or something, and I get this call. And it was just like, you know, it was from Telsey, and they're like, hey, you know, we're actually going to move you over to Mean Girls. Maybe, you know, we want to just like maybe have you audition, go sing for the MD over there and just talk, you know, and just see how it goes. I'm like, okay. So I go and I sing, and push comes to shove, I am thrown into Mean Girls rehearsal within like, you know, it was like a fast 2 week like turnaround of like, okay, and now I'm gonna meet girls rehearsal, which is amazing, so cool, so fun. But Prom, I still had vacations going on at Prom and coverage that they needed. So it kind of was just like, okay, well then we'll just do both at once.
Yeah.
So I was doing Prom at night, and I was swinging Prom at night, and then I was doing Mean Girls rehearsal during the day to then be their swing as well. So it's been a year of swinging for me, which has been definitely kept me on my toes, literally and figuratively.
Right. I guess recently it's seen Mean Girls before the shutdown happened, but it's a physical show for the ensemble, especially like how you are a part of the set changes in a very like artistic and thematic way.
Yeah.
Tell us about, since you were swinging the show, how it was to learn all those different tracks and like, oh, I'm this desk and this locker and this dance choreo. And
yeah, I mean, you know, luckily I, you know, just came from a swinging experience. I was getting more familiar with what it really meant to be a swing and stuff like that. But it is so true. Swinging Mean Girls comparatively to Prom was a different, it was just a different thing. It was a different beast. Both of them were very difficult in their own ways. And some, you know, they both have their different levels of difficulty for different things. But yes, I mean, the set moves and all of that for Mean Girls was an added layer. And Mean Girls too, like we had, the ensemble really is pretty much, you know, with the exception of just a few numbers, we keep that show rolling and going, and we help transition the whole thing too. So it was definitely even more so of like, like Mean Girls was even more so like, oh my goodness, this is like no joke. Because there was a lot more, and because I'm not off stage as much, like it was kind of like I had to when I walked downstairs, because we get dressed in the basement down there, when I walked downstairs, I had to be 100% like game ready, because there's really no time to breathe. So it was just a different, you know, Prom, you know, every once in a while, especially if I was like thrown on last minute, I'd be able to go, you know, Ladies Improving would be going on, and I'd go upstairs and I'd be like, okay, know what I'm doing, and we'll go on. And that was a different thing for Mean Girls. That was a different thing. So yeah, I mean, just like anything, it came with just a lot of practice and a lot of rehearsal and a lot of homework. I mean, that's what really the thing that, you know, I learned about being a swing is like, and I I've just actually been teaching swinging courses to younger kids during this quarantine thing, which has been really cool because it's really helped me reflect on what my process was like, right? And I just emphasize them to so much. I was like, you know, because it's very sweet, I find it very cool that there's these kids who that's their dream job. Like I was teaching some girls who were like, my dream job is to be on Broadway, but specifically to be a swing on Broadway. I was like, wow, like at that age, I had no idea, not a clue what that meant. And so I thought that was so sweet. But, you know, and I said to him, I said, you're committing to a job that you, you have to implement rest and restoration for yourself, but at the same time, you never are not kind of working, you know, like even if you're not on that night, I was like, especially those first 8 months to a year when you're new to that show, like, cause I remember I was just getting really comfortable and I was with Mean Girls, excuse me, for maybe 8 months, but by the time the shutdown happened. So I was almost to my year mark, but I was like, oh, you want me to do this? And I was like, comfortable. So I was like, you know, when you're put in this position, you are doing your homework constantly and you are constantly reviewing and you're if it's not reviewing choreography, it's harmonies. If you're not doing this, it's thinking about set moves and it's thinking about, you know, memorizing every single one of the tape on the ground. You have to memorize all of those, you know, so I don't know if that answered your question, but
I love that too.
It's like a long-winded answer.
No, I also love that as far as what you just said, where you're like, making what is needed to be conscious, eventually subconscious, like just getting it so ingrained into your body that even when the pressure's on, or even when you haven't maybe done that track in a while, it's still in your body so much that you're good to go.
Right. Totally.
And I think that's something for the listeners out there to parallel this to fitness on Built for the Stage, that, you know, it takes time to feel comfortable. And even like Susie was just saying, it was 8 months into the show before she was like, okay, I got this. So if you're just starting out a fitness journey or you're just starting out some new wrinkle or new page in fitness, it takes time like anything else until you really get that ingrained into your body.
Absolutely.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Rewinding a bit, where are you from, Susie? Where are you originally from?
I'm from Utah, Park City, Utah. So grew up in the mountains. Not anything like New York City.
our flow instructor, Elise Needery, who was most recently in King Kong, she's from Utah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love her.
Oh, you know Elise. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Of course, the theater world, always so small. And then did you go to school for musical theater?
I did. I went to Pace University downtown Manhattan.
There you go. Okay, so you made that quick transition from Utah to Pace. What did you learn for the younger people? What did you learn going from Utah to a university in New York City? And then transitioning out of the university to still living in it as a quote unquote adult. How are those two transitions for you?
Yeah, I mean, so I had the bug at like 11 where I would go to my mom and I'd be like, so I'm ready to move to New York. My mom's like, you're 11. Like, and I was like, yeah, I know. But like, I think, you know, I was doing my research and like, Annie's on Broadway. And like, I think I'm ready for it. Like, truly. So I always had the bug. I always knew that I wanted to be there. And then, you know, I knew I wanted to study this in college. It was something that I've been, this crazy life, this beautiful career, like, you know, that we somehow find ourselves coming to. Like, I knew I wanted to do it. I knew that it, like, that I had no other option, you know? And so when I started looking at schools, I looked all over the country, but it was kind of like my master plan of like, oh, I've been wanting to move to New York for 10 years now. And the best way to get me there is if I go to college there, because then my parents might, you know, like let me move there, because, you know, it's a big city at a young age. And but I was open to all universities. I looked all over the country and really just found myself kind of exactly what you said. Like, I just found myself being like, if I come now, I'll have a little bit more of that adjustment period will happen during college of like coming from Utah to New York City. So I was just ready. I remember coming to Pace, seeing it and just being like, yep, this is what I'm going to do. It's absolutely terrifying and I'm going to do it. So, which was great. I mean, I also say to a lot of people, because I don't know if it is everything, there's two sides of every coin is what I always tell people. And it's like, you know, coming to Pace was great, but at the same time, it wasn't a full college experience, right? Like, you don't get that, you know, homey kind of feel. It is a little bit of a shocking transition of it, for me at times. I felt like I moved at a young age and was just taking classes in the city. You don't get that full college quote unquote experience, yeah. You know? But
sorry to interrupt. After Pace, when you transition out and did they allow you to audition for shows while still at the university?
Yeah. So, and that's part of the reason that drove me there too, is because I was like, oh, I want to start now. Like, I just was always that first. And like, I was like, I want to go. And so yes and no, they allow people to audition freshman, sophomore year. They don't allow people to audition. And then junior, senior year, they do kind of let that ball just start rolling. And, and so I was actually, and part of the reason I look back and I'm like, well, it was the right decision for me, is I was a senior at Pace doing prom, which was very cool.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. I was going to ask you, how long did it take for prom to happen when you graduated and you hadn't even graduated yet?
Yeah.
So you've just been, overlapping from the jump. You overlapped college and the prom, and then you overlapped the prom and Mean Girls.
Yeah, pinch me.
Right? I was just gonna. Okay, how about can you think of a hardship that you have had to overcome during your young career?
Oh goodness! Yeah, absolutely. I mean, gosh.
Any learning lessons or any like, hey, wow, I was in the valley, and because I was in the valley, now, you know, I've overcome it and I'm better for it.
Absolutely. Goodness. I feel like I have so much, but it's, I mean, where do I even start? There's a lot of, you know, there was a lot of times where I was learning as I was going, and let's go with that.
Learning, as I love that for fitness too. Like, what was it like to, you know, there's the fake it till you make it saying, there's like learn as you go. What was that like to continue to have to tell yourself like, hey, I can do this, even though I'm a bit overwhelmed, like I got this, I can do this.
Totally. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, that that imposter syndrome almost in a little way of like, what? Like,
Yeah. Please talk about that, because that's a huge thing. That's a huge thing. Talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like, I just remember, I auditioned, my prom audition story is one of my favorite stories. And to kind of make it quick, I auditioned for the lab that was happening like the year prior to the Broadway go. And I went with my friend from school. It was the two of us who went, and they were making cuts all day. We were there all day long. They were looking for, I think, one onstage track and a female swing track, and to be the female swing. And I remember leaving that audition, and I was with one of my dear friends who booked the job. And I said to her, I looked at her, and I said, I think you just booked your Broadway show today. She goes, Susie, I booked my Broadway show today. Like, it was just like, you know, when you just know. And like, and we left that building and I was like, oh my goodness. But there was like three or four of us left and I just knew. And it was one of those feelings where, you know, like the human experience is, yeah, maybe I was a little sad, but also at the same time, I was like, oh my God, this is one of my best friends to make a Broadway debut. This is so dope. So it was like this, like really interesting. And I just remember being like, dang. Okay. And I was a junior in college at that time. So I remember being like, okay, like it was not my time. It was very, thank goodness. Sometimes the universe works in beautiful ways because thank goodness I didn't make it then, because I talk about not being ready. Like even senior year, I don't know, like, you know, when I got the show, I was like still kind of like, but like the universe was working to my favor that I didn't get it. My friend did get it. She was a year older than me. But then a year later, literally a full calendar year later, almost to the date, I got a email saying, are you interested and available? We've kept you on file and we're going to offer you the job, which is, you know, a crazy, you know, another crazy how it happened was kind of bizarre, but I love that story because it was like, but anyways, they were like, you know, we want you to be the swing. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't really know. I don't really have experience with that. Like, I don't really know what I'm doing. And I just remember being like, okay, well then, you know, then how are we going to learn how to do it? Right. And I was very fortunate. I mean, I had her one of my best friends who was there, and I had a lot of people who were there to kind of guide me. And yeah, oh my gosh, there were so many days that I was sitting there like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, but you know, it was kind of like, pedal to the metal. And like, you know what, like I've wanted this for so long, and you just have to, you know, keep going and understand, especially as a swing, that you are going to fail. Like failure is literally, and I don't mean failure in a negative connotation. I just mean like failure is literally part of that job. And so I got so used to it, and in a good way though, like in a way of like, oh, I made that mistake. Okay. How am I going to learn tomorrow to not do that mistake again? You know? And that's kind of just what kept happening for me. It just was like, okay, noted. And okay, that, you know, there was many times where I was like, I just want to curl up into a ball and go into the mud and dig myself into a hole. And I was like, well, you could do that or you could keep going. So
yeah,
and I did, I guess. You know, sometimes not so much, but you know, sometimes it was harder than others, but I, you know, luckily there's such a great business with such wonderful people who did, you know, would help too and say, okay, you know,
yeah. Let's keep. Yeah. I love that. Embrace the suck, meaning like, hey, sometimes things suck and that's okay. And you have to just like accept it, take it in. And then eventually once you process it enough, you say, okay, let me pull my pants up here and tighten the belt and say, you know, time to get back to work.
Right. Right. Because, you know, life isn't about, you know, if we succeeded at all times, you know, like it would be kind of boring.
Well, you're doing a great job so far. I'm so excited for your career to come. You're just coming out of the gate hot. So I'm really excited for you with these two shows right out of Pace. And just thank you so much for your time. That's going to be it for today.
Yeah,
everyone watching or listening, I guess you're listening, I'm watching because we're on this, I want to call it Zoom. It's like the South. I'm not going to close the podcast episode just yet. Apparently in the South, yeah, you say Coke for everything, right? It's like, I'll have a Coke, but really you're just saying you want some type of soda. And then they'll say, okay, what kind of Coke do you want? And if you're from the North, you get confused and you're like, no, I want a Coke. It's like Zoom. It's like Zoom now. We're actually not on Zoom, but every time I want to be like, oh, I'm on Zoom. But anyways, unofficial sponsor of Built for the Stage podcast. Okay, folks, that'll do it. Sorry for my rambling. If you are interested in following Susie's journey a bit more, you can go to her website, susiecarroll.com, or follow her on the gram, Susie Carroll. Once again, Built for the Stage is a part of the Broadway Podcast Network. Thanks to them. And if you like the podcast, please rate, subscribe, leave a comment. Check us out on the gram at Bill for the Stage or BillForTheStage.com. Until next time, it's me, Roscoe, signing off.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SuppsMusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.